Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had an amazing weekend. I am thrilled, overjoyed, and humbled to be sitting here with icon, Jew, yeah. Author,
yeah.
Former/current Real Housewives of New York. Hello, Leah McSweeney. Thank you so much for being here, finally.
I'm so happy to be here.
Overjoyed doesn't even begin to express it.
Thank you.
It doesn't.
Thank you.
Well, your timing couldn't be better because we spent much of last week talking about Real Housewives of New York
right.
and the drama and yeah. the two shows. And I'm curious if you know currently what that means for you.
I don't think any of us know what that means for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because so you, no. I could see you being eligible technically for both shows.
Right. That's true.
The new crew.
I am eligible for both.
Right. Because you're like young.
But where do you
hot.
Think I'm going to end up? Where would you want to see me? I'm curious.
I think I would want to see you on the new
reboot,
show.
The not reboot. The legacy.
Yeah. Because it's always felt like two different groups. Like yeah. since you're so much younger and you're so really so different than the other women.
Yeah.
And I do think that, like, if the show was built around you, your friends, people your age, people you know socially, I do think it would just be, like, a fresher dynamic.
Got you.
That's just my opinion.
I like your opinion. I also am like, oh, my God, though, if, like, Dorinda's coming back, and if it's, then it's, like.
I know. You feel left out.
Because I felt, I had so much fun on season 12 with them. You
yeah.
know?
I personally feel like Dorinda is not the vibe. And I do think, like, I really believe that you would be, like, the star of the new reboot. I really think that. Do you have a preference?
I don't. Honestly, I don't. Like, I found out the news. Obviously, I was surprised. But I'm just kind of like, I'll see what happens.
Right.
Like, I'm very, like, I don't, I, you know.
Laissez-faire.
It's just not in my control. So mm-hmm. I'll just see what happens.
Do you love being a Real Housewife?
It has so many perks. And it has also some downsides. Mm-hmm. Like, everything.
That's true.
But overall, definitely, it's been a positive thing.
Net.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, you now wrote a book, and obviously that's a huge platform for you to promote your book.
Exactly.
It's called Chaos Theory.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Chaos Theory, Finding Meaning in the Madness, One Bad Decision at a Time. It's a memoir. Like, I'm not going to say it's not prescriptive. It's maybe there's some part prescriptive in mm-hmm. there, but it really chronicles, like, my from teenage delinquency to, like, now, basically. And I touch on a lot of subjects.
Have you been told that you're too young to write a memoir?
No.
Oh. I feel like that's something people say.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost 40.
No, but you look like, what, 11?
Oh, okay.
You look great.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
No, I'm just buttering you up because, honestly, I'm so excited that you're here. Your timing couldn't be better coming off the heels of the Real Housewives trauma. And also, your recent conversion to Judaism, which yes. I'm just obsessed with, obviously, because I'm a very proud Jew.
Yes.
And, you know, being a Jew is not easy. Like, I should just tell you, like, we are extremely disliked by a lot of people.
I'm finding that out.
And I'm curious, like, who the fuck would make that decision to, like, willingly join a group of people with so much trauma?
I know. I'm realizing that you guys, I don't know, I didn't understand
yeah.
how much you guys were disliked mm-hmm. until I started telling people I was converting.
Oh, really?
Not that I hadn't been aware of anti-Semitism and mm-hmm. things like that, obviously, like, but telling people, like, sometimes I'd get a, why?
Right.
And I'm like, why not?
Right.
Like, what if I said I was, like, going to be born again Christian or
right.
Buddhist, or I don't think I'd get those kinds of, like, why?
Same responses.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
And of course, like, when I first said I was converting Orthodox, people were like, ah! Which I didn't. I converted conservative
okay.
At a conservative shul. But also the confusion. Like people think Orthodox is like scary, and meanwhile my Orthodox rabbi is like the chillest, coolest dude I'm still friends with.
No, I was bored.
People have it all backwards, and they just are not informed.
And you know who I blame? Netflix.
Oh my God. I know.
I just think like every time they highlight a Jewish community, it's like the worst outskirt part of it. And people who've never met a Jew in their life, that's all they see.
They're like, oh, it's crazy. Women are suppressed. Like, it's right, exactly, beyond moronic.
I can't. Yeah. I'm so glad you're joining the tribe. I just feel like we're really lacking in like the cool celebrity, like proud Jew department. Like
I'm a proud Jew.
I'm obsessed with celebrities, and I'm constantly finding out celebrities are Jewish because they never talk about it, you know? So lame and so embarrassing for them.
So weird. Why would you not?
So it's been like less than a week since you've been like full.
Yes, I can. I had my mikvah on Wednesday of last week, I believe.
Did you enjoy the mikvah experience?
I loved it.
Which one did you go to?
Upper West Side.
Okay, I've been to the one on the Upper East Side. It's literally like a stunning spa experience.
Yeah, this one was very nice.
For those who don't know, mikvah is in Sex and the City ritual. When Charlotte goes into the bath to convert.
Yeah, the ritual bath. Yeah.
So you do it to convert. You also do it before you get married, which is when I did it. Mm-hmm. And it was like a stunning, very, like, it's not what I expected,
but
you know?
But you could still keep doing it now. I know that you're married.
I was planning on keeping like doing Nida, which is like, I'm not gonna get into it, but it's like a monthly thing for your period, like when you are married, but I just like never found the time, and I'm like upset with myself that I never like continued on.
It's
with
just it. So like the bath was so warm,
stunning,
and it just, I was like, is this real? It was surreal.
Yeah,
because I've been thinking about this moment for so long. Yes, I've been working towards it for 2 years, mm-hmm. but it's actually been a lifetime.
Yeah,
and it's been since my early 20s that I've played with the idea of converting to Judaism. Mm-hmm. So it was just finally like doing something for myself and like actually taking steps to create a life I want for myself. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it's a pretty big deal.
No, it's so cool. Are you gonna raise your daughter Jewish?
So she's Catholic. She goes to Catholic school.
Oh.
But yeah, exactly. But I'm getting her DNA done because I have a feeling her paternal great grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
was a French Jew that was hiding, like, the Jewishness.
Right,
but the I don't know until I get her DNA tested, and I literally just am sending it out today.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I did mine. I'm just Irish and Italian. That's it.
I did mine. I'm 99.9% Ashkenazi Jewish. Yeah. And my husband was 100. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Like, we are so boring. okay, I'm so excited that you're here to join. We're going to talk all things, lots of drama, obviously. Everyone is talking about what went down in the Oscars last night. And honestly, the Oscars were like some of the most boring pieces of shit I've ever watched until that moment, obviously.
Right,
I was going to turn it off too, but something in my brain was like, well, let's just watch it. We have to do the show tomorrow. And the world is honestly never going to be the same after what happened. Like, everyone's talking about the Will Smith, Chris Rock drama. We're obviously going to talk about it. And just other news that went down over the weekend. So without further ado, I think it's time that we dive into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And today's episode is brought to you by Below Deck. Good day, Yachties. Your favorite reality franchise is charting a course for Australia in Peacock's new original series, Below Deck, Down Under. On a super yacht near the Great Barrier Reef, it's not just the waves that rock the boat. Each charter of outrageous guests presents new challenges for the yachty hotties, but you can count on them to work hard and play harder. Besides, there may be sharks in the water, but this crew has a bite of its own. Fan favorite Aisha from Below Deck Med is back as Chief Stew, while the hunky newcomer Jason has everyone saying, aye, aye, Captain. And adding in yacht-sized egos and dueling deckhands, you bet there's drama on the horizon. So if you're looking for the ultimate escape, pull up that anchor and come aboard. Below Deck, Down Under is streaming with new episodes every Thursday only on Peacock. Today's episode is also brought to you by FastGrowingTrees.com. Spring and summer are the season for finally getting outdoors, for entertaining pool parties, and barbecues. But if your yard looks like a plant cemetery, then you're not going to enjoy it as much. So get your place looking like a resort with Fast Growing Trees. When it comes to caring for your plants, know-how matters, and that's why FastGrowingTree.com's expert curate thousands of plant varieties that will thrive in your specific climate, location, and needs. There's no waiting in lines and no messy cars from hauling plants all over town because you order online or over the phone and your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. Plus, their growing and care advice is available 24/7. Even if you've never had a green thumb, they'll make you feel like you do. 1 million home gardeners have already seen that FastGrowingTrees.com can do for them. So go to FastGrowingTrees.com/toast right now. You'll get 15% off your entire order. That's 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/toast. FastGrowingTrees.com/toast. I'm also excited Leah's here because today's Monday, and that's where we do our Unburden Ourselves segment, where people write in the embarrassing things that happened to them this weekend. And just, you know, sharing is caring. And I think a lot of the things we hold inside, once we let them go and just say them, speak them, it makes us feel so much better. And that's what we try to do here at the Morning Toast.
You know what they say, you're only as sick as your secrets.
So fucking true. Okay, so let's just obviously talk about the first story of the day, which is the Will Smith of it all. So if you were watching the Oscars, like this is how it went down. You were watching and you were bored and you were like, should I turn this off? No, let's keep watching. And then Chris Rock came out and you're like, oh my God, finally, someone
funny.
Love
him.
Love.
Yeah.
So he's talking, he makes a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith. She is bald. And he said he's looking forward to the G.I. Jane 2 movie because G.I. Jane has a shaved head. They cut to Will and Jada. Will is laughing and Jada is rolling her eyes, like obviously annoyed. And then seemingly out of nowhere, Will Smith is on stage and he slaps Chris Rock.
So I was confused. It was a slap or a punch?
In the pictures being circulated, his hand is flat. It's flat,
but it looked like a punch, right?
And Chris Rock was like taken aback physically.
Yes, but you know what? Also, Will Smith looks much bigger than Chris Rock, and Chris Rock could fucking handle it. Like he did not. He just, you know, kind of.
He
went
kind
back,
of like
and then he
100%. And I think the viewers at home were like, oh my God, the Oscars and their moronic, like, fake comedy. I thought it was 100% staged.
Yeah.
Because really, you're right, Chris Rock, like, did not move.
It was, yeah, no, he didn't really, didn't
rock him. And then my TV went silent for 15 minutes, and I was like, what the fuck? And I'm, like, rewinding. Weird. I thought I was broken. And then they cut to Will Smith, and the volume was off, but you can hear him saying, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And then the volume finally comes back, and Chris Rock is like, oh my God, I just got bitch slapped by Will Smith on TV. And he continued on with his monologue, but he was like visibly shaken.
Yeah, you can tell.
Chris Rock is not one to mince words, and he was like fumbling over the teleprompter, obviously. But at that point, I think a lot of us didn't know that it was real. We were all just collectively like, what the fuck? And then I guess the telecast here in America was muted for about 10 or 15 seconds, but they were airing it in Japan and Australia, and then people started to share on social media. It wasn't muted in those countries. And the real story came out, which was it was 100% real. He got up and slapped him and then walked off stage and screamed at the top of his lungs twice, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
So I haven't watched the Oscars in years. I haven't really watched. I can't deal with the celebrities giving their speeches.
I couldn't agree more.
It's like extra woke, like annoying, virtuous, like
hypocritical
bullshit. Like, I just can't deal with it. I like seeing the outfits, of course, but they're just not fun anymore. So
agreed.
I just don't watch it. But like I went to a comedy show instead last night. So, but I did see the clip, of course.
Of course.
And I mean, Chris Rock's a comedian.
Yeah.
He is there to make jokes and make fun of people. Mm-hmm. Like, get a fucking life, Will Smith. I don't know. I'm not into it at all.
Obviously, the backlash, for those who don't know, is...
If it wasn't a comedian and someone just randomly said that, then I get it. Mm-hmm. But in this context, that was like a total oversensitive bitch move.
And you know what? I don't even think like debating back and forth about whether the joke was appropriate or not is worth it, because
it's
once you put
it.
Hands on someone, it, like you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're 100% wrong.
Matter.
You're done.
He's a comedian.
And you know what's so funny is that like Will Smith like actually did laugh at the joke. Like
he saw Jada and was
right.
like, oh shit.
So I guess the only redeeming quality, in my opinion, is like we love a man who stands up for his wife.
Of course.
But I'm sorry, like being violent is never the answer. Doing it on TV, this like a family friendly telecast. There was kids in the audience. It's like, it's so not appropriate. It's so not cool. And like, it's making me like hate Will Smith.
Yeah. If I was at a bar with my man and someone said something to me and he punched him, mm-hmm. I'd be like, I'm sucking your dick all night tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But this was immature.
Yeah.
It seemed just like a very fragile man that like couldn't handle himself well.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
And
I love Chris Rock.
I know, and he's a legend.
He didn't deserve that.
And he was poking fun at everyone. And, you know, she has been open about she has alopecia. And so that's why she has a shaved head. And yes, of course, if you want to get into the nitty gritty, maybe it wasn't sensitive. I'm almost 100% sure he didn't know she had alopecia. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know either.
And I do this for a living. So if there was, you know, an issue with the joke, a conversation is the perfect place for that off camera.
Yeah.
It was not the place. And then I found myself like rooting for Will Smith because I'm like, I need to hear from this man. And the only way I'm going to hear from him is if he wins. And he did win.
Oh my God.
And he made a speech.
Yeah, I watched part of that too.
He was extremely emotional. And I just really felt like we were watching like the man in the midst of a breakdown. Like,
yeah,
he was,
it looked like that. You know what? You got to go to Keith McNally's Instagram mm-hmm. and see his breakdown of Will Smith's speech. Uh-huh. Keith McNally's like the best Instagram. He's, you know who I'm talking about, right?
I do not.
He owns Balthazar and Pasties.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but his Instagram is wild.
Oh my God, gotta follow.
It's, you have to follow him. You're gonna love it.
Okay.
Love it.
And what did he say?
He said that it was the most self-indulgent, self-important speech. He's like, you know, cries on cue anyway, right. So you can't trust him. I mean, he didn't mince his words.
So the speech was weird because he obviously, like, he was circling the drain, like, talking about how Richard Williams, who he plays in the movie King Richard, Venus and Serena's sister, and then they cut to Venus and Serena, and Venus's nipple was hanging out. Like, it was so chaotic.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was chaos. He said, you know, Richard Williams was a fierce defender of his family. So he's like, he never really addressed. He apologized. He apologized to everyone except for Chris Rock. He apologized to the Academy. He apologized to everyone in the room. And it was just so messy. Honestly, I wasn't able to follow the speech at all. I wasn't sure, like, what the overall message was. Mm. I just feel like Will Smith, like, might be going through it right now because he was like acting like a fool.
It. Yeah, he's going through night. It. Not an excuse, but he's going through it.
100%.
Yeah, to have that much rage and anger in you, like, to get up and punch someone over mm-hmm. a joke, that's what they're there to do,
right?
You know, one's safe.
No, and I do have to say, I thought the three hosts, Regina, Wanda, and Amy Schumer, were hilarious.
Isn't it crazy how, like, think about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, like, how much money they have. Like, Will Smith has everything and he's still, like, angry.
Yeah,
at like, or is can get that angry,
right? I was thinking what was I gonna say? That I imagine that the discourse we would all be having around this conversation would be enormously different if it was a girl who got up there and slapped someone. Like, she would be psychotic. She would have been thrown out. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, and it's
yeah.
just like.
Yeah, she would have been unhinged.
Right,
she
a mad been, woman.
Oh, yeah, completely.
So the whole, and I don't know, everyone then giving him a standing ovation. And it wasn't like it was nothing. The police were there and they asked Chris Rock if he wanted to press charges and he said no.
Of course.
P. Diddy has, at the after party, he was like doing interviews. He said that the two of them have settled it. But it's just like, it's like the craziest thing.
It is pretty crazy.
And then, their son, Jaden, took to Twitter and just tweeted, "That's how you do it." But unclear if he was referring to his dad's speech or his dad's slap. Unclear. It was the slap heard around the world. It was so crazy.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about the slap.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And then the Academy had to release a statement. A lot of people are saying he might have his Oscar taken away. They say they do not condone violence. They released something on Twitter just being like, we're here to celebrate all the nominees, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't condone violence.
I don't think they should take his Oscar away. Me but neither. I also think it's just like, it doesn't make him look good.
No, it doesn't. And like, I'm curious if this is like going to be a thing for him. Like, he's going to have to take a year off, you know, like release a documentary or something.
Right.
Like how, you know, every time you go through a scandal, it's like silence then documentary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's
like
a lot of people.
Cannibal. What's that cannibal guy?
Or also, that's exactly what Kevin Hart did, you know?
Right. And then the guy who said he was like, wanted to eat women. No.
Oh, yeah, what's his name? Armie Hammer.
Hammer.
It's always silence then documentary.
Yeah, he's been gone. Yeah. He's working on himself.
But he's also in an upcoming movie. So it's like,
yeah,
no one
so that's
actually
the timing,
cares.
Like that, you know.
Yeah, that's what
it's been
takes.
A year and now yep. he's back and 100%. He doesn't want to eat women anymore.
100%, 100%.
Yeah.
So this was just like the craziest thing. I like really can't get over it. I honestly couldn't sleep, like, not to be dramatic. I was just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, nothing interesting really ever happens at the Oscars. I feel like this is just as crazy, maybe crazier than like the whole La La Land Moonlight thing.
Oh God, I did watch that. Yeah, that was.
And in real time, we were all like, "What the fuck?"
That was.
And like,
weird.
No one was able to talk about anything else for like years.
Yeah.
So honestly, as a pop culture junkie, I was just like, not gonna lie, living for every moment. And the Oscars, in my opinion, have never been more relevant. Did you see a lot of the movies?
I haven't seen any of those movies. I haven't even heard of them. I'm like, where am I?
Same.
But I started Googling some of them, and I want to see Coda. That sounds cool.
That's the what I took away is the movie that I have to see.
I have to see that, too.
I did see Tammy Faye with Jessica
Chastain. I need to watch it. I'm obsessed with her.
It was unreal. Like, she was amazing. The movie was good, but she was incredible, which takes us to the next story, which is the list of winners. In the main categories, Jessica Chastain did win, and she beat out, like, a sickening group of ladies.
Wait, is Jessica Chastain playing Tammy?
Tammy Faye, yeah.
Oh my God.
She's
irrecognizable. I need to watch it now.
And also, Tammy Faye won for like hair and makeup and costume because you will not recognize Jessica Chastain.
I mean, I saw the like pictures and stuff. Right. I had no idea it was Jessica Chastain.
No, because she's like a goddess and she did not look anything like herself. Yeah,
she's
it was crazy.
Ginger goddess.
She's a ginger goddess. She's Jackie's like
your
idol.
Sister. Yes.
So the big categories, Will Smith obviously won for best actor. Best actress was Jessica Chastain. Best original song, where Beyonce was nominated and Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish won and her brother were like super cute, like accepting the award. How nice to be able to go. You're really close with your sister. Like, yeah. I was thinking that when I was watching the red carpet with like Chloe and Halle, like they get to go everywhere together. Like, how nice is that?
That's fun.
Like, you just have like a friend everywhere you go who's like just as famous as you. Yeah. And, like, you get invited to all the cool parties. Yeah. And you have to get like a plus one, you know, because they're already invited.
I know. I'm actually trying to think about imagining that with my sister. We are close, but sometimes we need our space. So,
does your sister live in New York?
Yeah, she does.
How often do you see your sister?
Like a couple times a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the best, right?
She's my everything.
She's great on the show.
She's, oh yeah, I know.
Does she like filming?
Well, she, I mean, it's funny because she's so herself. Mm-hmm. I mean, she literally doesn't change at all, like in front of all the cameras. I think that, I don't know if she loves it.
Do you, when you wrote your book, I'm sure you talked a lot about your family, and did you give them like a copy of the manuscript?
I gave them we discussed beforehand.
And did
everything.
They get a veto?
There was a couple things my mom had me change.
Oh my God. Speaking of your mom, you went viral on TikTok recently and I was cracking up because I honestly didn't know if you were serious or not.
Yeah.
You made this TikTok.
Me neither.
You made this TikTok saying, oh, I just flew my whole family out. I paid for this amazing vacation. They think we're here to have fun, but I'm actually going to stage an intervention on our generational trauma and like all the problems in our family. And you went so viral. It was so funny. What did you end up doing?
So I was joking, but at the same time, my mom's a therapist. And anytime our whole family's together, it's therapeutic. I mean, we talk about our dysfunctionality and our feelings and our issues. And like, we can't help it. We're all very like over the top or whatever, eccentric, I guess. I don't know. So I made that. It was a joke. I didn't just bring them there for that, obviously. Okay. Like it was actually supposed to be kind of a healing trip for my mom losing my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And my mother said something like, I don't know how many more Christmases I have left. And I was like,
oh God, gutted.
And I gutted. So I normally don't even spend Christmas with my family. I always go to Jamaica alone with Kiki. So this was like a big special trip to be together. And it was a joke. Yeah. But then I ended up kind of talking to them and then putting that up.
Well, TikTok was like lit aflame. They were like, what was the overwhelming consensus from the comments?
I think it was like 50-50. Like some people were like, you're the biggest narcissist for doing that. Meanwhile, I actually like went out of my way to do something nice for my family and I was joking. But then other people were like, good, but you're never probably going to get what you need from them, you know? And then I ended up talking to them about some
all
stuff.
All of it.
Yeah. And I didn't get what I needed.
Was not productive?
You know what? It was fine that it was good. It was productive, but that kind of work you have to do on your own anyway. 100%. Right? So 100%.
What was it like growing up with a mom as a therapist?
It was, I mean, I like started doing drugs at age 14.
Oh,
so,
right. Forgot about that.
So it was probably that's all you need not, to know. Like, I wouldn't blame it. I'm not blaming it on her being a therapist or anything like that. But for whatever reason, I was like really rebellious and really had a huge appetite for self-destruction.
You know, it's so crazy because on the show last week we had Josh Peck, who was obviously like a child actor and now he's like a successful influencer, and he went through 4 years of crazy addiction. And it's just so crazy when you meet someone, like our only impression of you is like you on the other side of your addiction.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and,
but you saw me drinking on season 12.
Oh, that's true. But like,
but it was like fun drinking.
And you were amongst
kind of
like so many alcoholics. Like you were just one of the girls, you know? It wasn't like,
well, when you're surrounded by other people who are getting blackout
drunk. You weren't
drunk,
even crazy.
Right.
So it's just so weird because for me, like you're so like just calm. And you have this like very serene aura about you.
Oh, wow.
So I honestly can't picture, and it was the same with Josh.
That's all the meds.
I can't picture you in that delinquent space you describe.
I was, if my daughter did 10% of what I was doing, I would be in a grave.
Right.
Don't know how my parents did it.
And
how old
is your daughter now?
14.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and she's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
So when you say an addict, were you doing drugs?
Yeah.
What kind of drugs?
Crystal meth, PCP, acid, ecstasy. Because I was a raver. I was a club
kid. Right, club kid,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, so that's what you were doing at the clubs. Like, it was normal.
That is so crazy, crystal meth.
Special K.
Like ketamine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like K-holes.
Yeah. No, when you go out in New York, like, everyone's doing drugs. But I don't think I've ever seen anyone do crystal meth.
Yeah. Well, now it's very popular in the gay community.
Oh, is it?
Very, very, very. But back in the day, it was like, have people do like coke, like, like it's nothing, kind of, even though they should really be careful because the fentanyl is crazy, killing people left and right. But back then, it was just a club drug because, you know, you'd have to dance for till hours, 10 a.m. How else are you going to do that?
How does one do crystal meth? You do it like... you inject it?
No, I didn't, but you can. Yeah. Like, you would just sniff it. Some people smoke it. I didn't do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so crazy. And so
how long? You're at the club. I mean, so I guess you could go into the bathroom and shoot up.
But you bringing your needles is, like, very laborious. Kind of like,
yeah.
So how long have you been off drugs?
Oh, I've been, like, off drugs for a long time.
God. And you are now totally sober when it comes to alcohol.
I'm totally sober. I don't even smoke weed. Which I actually, in my book at that time, was like, I smoke weed, but I'm completely sober now.
And in your mind, like, what is different? I mean, I'm sure it's a lot, but, like, what's different about day-to-day life as a totally sober person?
I mean, look, I converted to Judaism. Right. Like, I'm on a different...
Doing crazy things.
It's like, yeah, you know, my crazy now is much different than what it used to be, but the issue is I do have to, like, check myself because somehow I'm still, like, maybe have this... need for excitement and chaos, like I talk about, right? But I have to, like, fill it up with other things.
Right.
You know.
Do you have a lot of hobbies?
I do have a lot of hobbies. And it's kind of crazy how many different things I've taken up since I got sober years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, ice skating. I became, like, an adult ice skater. I'm not, like, professional. I can do, like, a little waltz jump. I was going and taking lessons.
Where?
At Chelsea Piers.
I'm shook.
Yeah, and I would always see Jonathan Van Ness there. Because he would be taking the lessons in the morning at the same time. And I was like, God. Oh, shit. But it's amazing. Like, really, you know, listen, drugs are fun if you're not an addict and an alcoholic. Right. You know, and if you can do them recreationally, I totally believe. Like, listen, like, taking acid, I had spiritual experiences. Like, I'm not against it, you know, for people if it works for them. But being an addict is, like, dark.
And it's like a lifelong
thing. It never goes away.
Right.
I can't, like, just start. I can't have a glass of wine.
Really? Yeah.
No, never.
Did you find being amongst the women at the beginning of your journey on Real Housewives in New York to be really testing your...
So it was interesting because I had relapsed a few months before I got casted or knew I was going to be on the show.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be on a reality show and I'm drinking again. Right. I know that that's a disaster waiting to happen, but I just couldn't stop because I wasn't ready. But I can't lie. I'm happy that the year I did drink, I was drinking with, like, Dorinda and Sonia and Ramona.
If
like,
I, that's kind to of drink
fucking
with,
awesome. It's 100%. Them. 100%. It is them.
When we see the women, like, in some of the states we've seen them in, like, late at night, how many drinks are we having?
Oh, my God, like, 20?
Yeah, like, it's just all night. They're not, they're all like, day they're all tanks. Night.
I've never seen anything like it. Like, I remember one night, like, me and Luann went out, and after filming, we were out till, like, 4 a.m, and we had to fucking show up at 9 a.m. She took me to some place on the Upper East Side. I took her to One Oak. Like,
it was dead at Luann at One Oak.
It was awesome. And then, like, the next morning, we had to show up at, like, 9 a.m. for us, you know, to film. And it was when Ramona, I said, bitch, I elevate this shit. I had to show up that day. I was so hungover. I show up and, like, oh, I'm sorry. No, it was after Halloween.
Oh.
Luann shows up and is, like, bright as a daisy. Like, nothing, like, no issues. And I'm, like no makeup. Like, one of my producers is like, what the fuck? Like, you look like shit, you know? And I'm like, how do they do this?
No,
how?
She's next level.
I don't know how they do it.
And especially at their age, because really the older you get, the worse your hangovers get.
You would think.
So you would think, but no, they're machines.
No, machines. Ramona is the best, though. Because she never even gets... drunk. She gets sloppy. No, she gets drunk, but, like, she doesn't... It's different. Like, she doesn't, like, get, like, in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
She shits.
What are... Yes, she is known. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised
that's pretty bad.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the people who writes in on Unburden Yourselves is Ramona, because people are always talking about getting drunk and shitting their pants. Apparently, it's like a big thing.
Thank God that never... happened to me. Well, it came close.
I just recovered from the stomach flu, so I can no longer say that it hasn't happened to me. But it wasn't out of my control.
It happens to me with stomach flu, just not drunk.
Yeah, there is a stomach flu going around. I don't know if you know that. And I just want to encourage you, because I didn't know that it was going around. I just want to encourage you to be really safe.
Okay.
It's no fucking joke.
I know I saw you laid up in bed, but I have an IV. By the way, I have an IV vitamin guy for you.
Uh-huh.
That is
You were telling me.
Yes, he's the best.
Okay, let me know.
He's my little secret. He's
There's really nothing an IV can't fix.
Yeah.
I love IVs.
Except I was getting them so much when I had COVID, and I think it made me crazy.
Did you have COVID? Which strain?
I think I got it at Bill Bouquet. So I had the Upper East Side Bill Bouquet strain.
Oh, so it was the really snobby.
Yeah, it's strain. That really rich strain.
Oh man, that's so funny. Okay, well, we're going to get into more news, and the rest of the show is brought to you by Bull & Branch. The best sheets on the planet. Their signature sheets come in 9 versatile colors, all sizes, from twin up to California King, and you'll immediately feel the difference in their iconic signature sheets. That's one I have on my bed, and then literally everything in my house is from Bull & Branch, like my throw blankets. They fit the deepest mattresses and are labeled with top and bottom tags, so making your bed is a journey, and it's not that hard. Best of all, Bull & Branch gives you a 30-night risk-free trial with free shipping and returns. They use 100% best organic cotton. They have a superior softness and a better night's sleep. Their sheets aren't just buttery. They're breathable and impossibly soft to start. They get softer with every wash. So get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use promo code TOAST at bollandbranch.com. That's Bowl & Branch, spelled B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com, promo code TOAST. How often do you change your sheets, Leah McSweeney?
Once a week.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's when my cleaning lady comes and does
me as well.
Yeah.
And it's just there's...
Or else I wouldn't do it for a month.
No. Before I had a housekeeper.
Until I perioded all over it. And then that's when I change it.
What is your policy on eating in bed?
Some
people are really against it.
Oh, I would fucking do it in a heartbeat.
I just don't do it.
I haven't been doing it, but I'm totally with that.
Yeah, me too. I think there's literally nothing better than posting up in bed eating.
Yeah.
But if I have a dog, and I know you have pets. So
I don't have a TV in my bedroom.
What?
I know. So
is that an intentional thing?
Yeah, I think just one. My daughter has one in her room that she uses for video games. But I feel like two is enough. I can't have one in my room.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Maybe I'd be watching it too much, you know? I've been all about, I'm really trying to do sleep hygiene lately.
What's that?
It's really turning your lights down after sunset, making sure everything is so your circadian clock can be a caveman's.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it working?
I think so. I've been sleeping well, not being on your phone. I know. It's all about that blue light.
Yes, that actually is a real thing.
It's a real thing. I know. Trying to read before bed maybe instead of watching TV. I haven't been great at it the last couple nights.
What's the last book you read?
The Anatomy of Anxiety.
Ooh, dark.
It's great.
Yeah.
No, it's so good.
I'm not into I just like self-help. To read fictional books about
I'm reading
rich
now.
People.
Now I'm reading a fictional book called Lucky.
Cute.
Yeah.
Do you have a Kindle or are you a hardcover girl?
Hardcover.
Yeah, no. It's just who is the space? We live in New York, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have space for books.
That's true. Oh, I know. I have so many books.
I know. And it's what do you do with them?
I know. They're right now on my TV media console.
Me too.
That's where they are. They're all there.
Literally same. Yep. Okay, let's keep going with the stories because Kim Kardashian's on Good Morning America this morning and Robin Roberts is asking the tough questions. Mm-hmm. She's asking her to clarify her get your fucking ass up and work comments. Obviously, that little soundbite went so viral on TikTok and all other platforms, but TikTok as well. And people were really hella pissed at Kim being you're so privileged. What are you telling us to work? You're a billionaire. You grew up with a maid. and then Robin Roberts asked her about it. And I feel it's crazy. I can't recall a time in recent memory where Kim was addressing a controversy. But what she said was, that statement that I said was without questions and the conversation around it. It became a soundbite really with no context. And that soundbite came off the notion and the question right before, which was after 20 years of being in the business, you're famous for being famous. And my whole tone and attitude changed with that previous question that went into that question about what advice I would give to women. So I guess she's basically saying...
She still said no one wants to work.
Right. She said it wasn't a blanket statement towards women or to feel like I don't respect the hard work or think that they don't work hard. I know that they do. It was taken out of context, but I'm really sorry that it was received that way.
I mean, maybe she just said something and people shouldn't take it as gospel.
No, I know.
You know
it's
what I mean?
I'm it's not that serious.
It's not that serious.
Yeah.
It's just not that serious.
But that's
and maybe Kim isn't perfect and she has some problematic fucking or whatever.
Right.
No one... we're human.
It's not... That deep.
It's not that deep.
I agree.
It's just not
completely.
That deep. The other thing is yes, okay, they grew up, you know, with a maid and in Beverly Hills and blah, blah, blah. They still, like, I mean, I know a lot of people grow up like that.
Yeah.
And they're not able to turn that into, right, exactly. They, like, you know, so I'm not a fan or a hater of hers. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty, like, neutral with her.
Well,
I've never watched one of the, I've never even seen one of those shows. I know, I haven't.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But you're also a Julia Fox girly, right? You're friends with Julia?
Yeah.
So what does that mean for you?
Oh, that's right.
Right. Even though I don't, Julia and Kim are cool.
I don't think, I don't think there was any static between them.
When that whole thing was going down and, like, you're like, I know this girl and she's now, like, becoming this major deal. Like, what was going through your mind?
I was like, if anyone can handle this, Julia can.
Really? Like, she's built for it?
Like, I'm just like, if anyone can handle this and turn it into something good for her.
Right.
And not have it be like, she killed, I mean, she did a great job.
Yeah.
Like, she went from, like, dating him only for like 3 weeks and then by Kanye, and now she's like at, you know, the Versace
Vanity
show
Fair,
with fucking Donatella.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean? That's pretty
crazy.
Epic. Like, there's no one else is doing that.
Did you get a Birkin?
I didn't get a Birkin.
Fuck! Oh my god.
I wasn't invited. I know.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That was just like such a crazy time in pop culture history. Like,
it was pretty cool.
It was crazy. And were you communicating with her while it was going on?
No, but I was just watching.
And how do you know her?
I'm saying this because me and her spoke about it on her podcast.
Oh.
I was her sponsor in AA years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we just stayed friends. She was in some of my Married to the Mob campaigns.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, actually, Jerry Saltz just posted a photo from it. And I don't even know if he knows that it's her in the T-shirt. Just
downtown.
Oh, that
is so interesting. Yeah. You're so like New York.
Downtown stuff, I guess.
Where'd you grow up?
In Chelsea on 24th and 8th. But then I moved to Connecticut when I was 14.
Got it.
And then I moved back when I was 18.
Got it. Oh, my, that's so interesting. The Julia Fox of it all. So, Kim... like, honestly, Kim could do no wrong. Like, I just love her so much.
Her. Right.
And while I like, people are taking, yes, I think, I do believe it was taken out of context and people are just like so pressed over it. But at the end of the day, like, the overall message was just like, if you want to be successful, you have to work hard. And that's true.
That is true. I often wonder, though, if Kim is, she's either like Buddha or like a total sociopath.
She's extremely calm.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Like, how?
She said, I always reference this moment on, like, the last episode of the old E! Show when, like, the Kanye stuff was, like, starting.
Mm-hmm.
She said calmness is her superpower. Like, that's really how she gets through life. And I was, like, never been more jealous of anyone in my life.
Same.
Because I'm, like, what is calm? I've never been calm in my life. I'm calm when I'm sleeping and, like, that's it.
Maybe she has really strong faith or something. Maybe
they
too.
Are. I think they are pretty religious.
Yeah,
Christian.
But it's like scary with her. It's like either very sociopath. She either like doesn't have feelings,
mm-hmm.
or she literally is like Buddha. Like, I don't know.
No, that's a really good call. I also think like the Kim that we know. Like, I don't think we know like 80% of Kim's actual personality.
Yeah,
that's just what I think.
That's interesting. I could see that.
Which Kardashian do you feel like most? Like, do you associate with? You're giving Kendall.
Really?
Yeah, like supermodel.
I don't know if I really.
You don't play that game at your
like,
at family dinner?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
we do.
I know, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I don't know. Like, my like sister's so hot. So, like, maybe like Chloe, because I felt like the ugly sister for a long time. And I know she said that she feels that way. I'm not calling her the ugly sister. But then I also like, you know, Courtney. Just seems like she's doing her own thing,
mm-hmm.
and like doesn't care about being famous that much. So I'm
mm-hmm.
kind of into that.
And she feels like she's in like the season of her life where she's extremely at peace.
Yeah.
Content with her life and her family. And she's in love and there's nothing better than that.
I mean, I'm definitely not in love.
Do you want to get married again?
I was never married.
What?
Yeah, but we were together.
Right.
Time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do you want to be in a partnership or a relationship?
You know what? I haven't really wanted to, so I haven't been looking for that.
Are you on the apps?
I'm not on apps. I'm not doing anything. I have only had sex once this year.
Wow.
And I think I jinxed myself with my tagline from last season. When
Which
I said
was?
I'm sex positive and BS negative.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, boom, there's no dick
negative.
Anywhere. I was like, okay, I'm still sex positive. I just am not having it.
That is beyond funny. Well, speaking of the Rob of it all, our next story actually is not that big of a deal, but I did want to get your take on just like co-parenting in general, because I feel like we see a lot of people on TV co-parenting, and when I think of like the healthy ones, I think of you.
Thank you.
And Kim and Kanye were just spotted. They were at a Saints soccer game.
Oh, good.
There was like paparazzi pictures. They didn't appear to be like loving or embracing one another, but they were both there.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I imagine like co-parenting is literally the hardest thing in the world, especially if you fucking hate your partner.
Yeah. Like, luckily I don't hate Rob, you know, and I don't think like, it doesn't seem like Kim hates Kanye. I think she kind of probably feels for him a bit.
I feel like she's definitely annoyed by him.
Annoyed, maybe. Yeah. But you know, if you're a good parent, you put your kid first.
Right.
And that's what you have to do. You can't really like think about your own ego. Mm-hmm. You have to just do it. But as again, I'm in a fortunate situation.
Yeah.
Where he never did anything horrible to me, or I probably wouldn't be good at co-parenting.
Were you guys like from the start, like once you decided to not be together, were you always in like a good spot?
No.
There was a period.
It was like the first couple years was like rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we kind of, it's been an evolution, you know, right. As we've both gotten older and like more mature and just like chilled out, it gets better.
Yeah. I feel like having a good, like positive, healthy co-parenting space is like A, the hardest thing to do. And B, it's like, in my opinion, the most admirable, because you have to be so mature.
You
and
have
that's
to
just
be.
Something I'm not.
Well, I'm mature in that way, but maybe not in other ways.
Totally. Well, honestly, I'm happy for Kim and Kanye. I feel like we beat this horse dead. Like, I'm just so over talking about these two, which is crazy for
me.
Though? I'm really done with like talking about Kanye. He's really annoying me, and like all of his tweets. I mean, his Instagrams.
Oh God,
like,
Instagram.
It's so toxic. And like, I'm really not a principled person. Like, I'm just kind of toxic. But like, I feel like talking about family publicly on social media, like
it's
that is a lot, and that's something I hate. And like, just I imagine how unsettling it is for Kim to like have this person be a loose cannon who you were married to, who knows like all your deepest, darkest secrets, seeing you at your worst.
Terrifying.
What's scarier than that?
That is terrifying.
And so like,
but
I feel
like,
for
is
her.
He saying like, sometimes I'm like, is he trying to like, are these calls for help? Is it true? Like, was she really keeping him away? But then she said, no, stop.
She's
this
like,
narrative.
Bitch, you were literally here this morning. Like,
right.
Stop.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then yeah, he's completely in the wrong.
Well, and he has been like very open about his struggles with mental health, and it's clear.
Yeah, that's why I have a soft spot for
him. I know. So it's clear for me, like this whole thing is him spiraling in that sense. But also at the end of the day, it's like, it's still like, he's still harassing Kim. So it's like, where do we, I don't know where to fall.
This is the difference. I think, you know, success and wealth has not been good for his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim, it's a different story.
Yeah.
Like, she's thriving in it. And I don't think that it's been great for him.
Yeah. And I think especially since he became a father, it's been like more taxing for him. And I think for her, she's entered like a season of her life where she's so much more secure with the fame and everything.
Yeah.
No, that's actually a really good point. Well, I just love to see, you know, families coming together, because
of course
this is a family show, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Our fifth and final story is some sad news. Sadly, over the weekend, the Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins had passed away, and an autopsy revealed he had 10 substances in his system when he died. So the Colombian authorities on Saturday said that the Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins had 10 substances when he was found dead in his Bogota. In Bogota on Friday. So the Office of the Attorney General, Colombia, tweeted the update, which is just like so bizarre.
So weird.
Saying that a preliminary toxicology test found substances including opioids, benzodiazepines, tricyclic antidepressants, and THC and psychoactive compound in marijuana. They didn't rule it as the official cause of death and said that the investigation is ongoing and results will be released after they obtained.
I wonder if there was fentanyl.
I know. So sad. And a lot of celebrities have like spoken out about this, and Miley Cyrus was actually performing over the weekend and she broke down crying. I think she sang a Foo Fighters song. So sad, so crazy. And yeah, new update, 10 substances in his system when he died.
Addiction is really
real.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's very real.
Yeah. It like with stories like this, it's just like impossible. It's just so sad, especially like when someone's at the height of their career, like Foo Fighters is huge, and
he has like 3 kids, I think.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's horrible.
Horrible. You just hate to see it. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure in your experience with drugs, I'm sure you've seen a lot of things like that.
I had a lot of friends die of overdoses. Yeah.
So sad.
It sucks.
It's terrible. Well, we're sending his family the best, and we're just going to pivot a little bit to something slightly happier, which is unburden ourselves. So let me tell you how this segment came to be.
Okay.
I fell. Yeah, I fell at a party, at a cool party. Mary-Kate and Ashley were there. Yeah, and I was wearing these like big Dino Stomper shoes. And
did they see?
So the thing was is that I don't know, and it's kind of the unknown that keeps me up at night.
Yeah,
and so it was like a Friday or a Saturday night, and it's just the whole weekend it plagued me. And I asked my friend Gabe, who was with me, I'm like, did you see? And he said no, and like I knew he was lying. And then on Monday, I came here on the show and I talked it through with Jackie, and I really did feel better.
Yeah.
And Jackie let me know that's called unburdening yourself.
Oh, unburdening.
And then I thought, you know, why should I keep this to myself? Let's open it up to everyone to be able to unburden themselves.
You care about people.
Right. I'm really just like an empath, and I sense other people's trauma.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted to do was open the floodgates for other people. So every week on Monday, we let three people unburden themselves. They tell us what they did this weekend that's been plaguing them. Amazing. And then they can officially let it go.
Love that.
We try really hard not to judge them. But again, some people do crazy things, and it's not always that easy. So we are going to unburden ourselves, brought to you by Stamps.com. Time is money. Don't waste either with repeated trips to the office. With Stamps.com, you can skip the trip and focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer. It saves you money in the process, so you can spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. So for more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been an indispensable asset for over 1 million businesses. They give you access to all the post office and UPS shipping services you need right from your computer. And you get discounts you can't find anywhere else, like 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS rates. So stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code TOAST for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. There's no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code TOAST. Okay.
Do you do this every day?
The morning toast?
Yeah.
Yes, Monday through Friday.
Really impressive.
Thank you so much.
Honestly.
Thank you so much for being here. Like, I just...
No, this is... You're like a mogul.
I can't stress it enough how grateful I am. Ready?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt you?
No, never. Okay. Please. If you have something to say, Leah, this is an open space.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. You let me know. This past Monday, I had a huge exam coming up. It wasn't a big deal because it was my best subject and I studied a ton for it. My roommates and I walk into the exam and we sit down in the lecture hall along with 230 other kids. We get the test and begin. The first few answers are going well, I knew the material, and I felt really good about my knowledge. I start to feel my stomach churn, and I make some noises.
Oh God.
Noises that are so loud around me, everyone can hear. I run out of the room of 230 kids and I sprint to the restroom where I basically had an accident in my pants. I had to dispose of my underwear in the school bathroom. I pull myself together and go find the professor, and I'm shaking, explaining to him what happened. And I'm crying because I think I stink.
Oh my God.
I tried to continue the rest of the exam feeling so embarrassed and disgusted. And for the entire rest of the exam, I'm sweating and feeling like it's happening again. I had no idea what I put on the exam, and I never really finished it. I left and I told my roommates a bit of what happened. They had no idea what was happening during the exam. I'm scared to go back to class to check my exam. Turns out I had food poisoning and I was in the bathroom for the next 2 days. Of course it had to hit me during my exam.
Oh my God.
Well, that's terrible.
She should be able to take her exam again. That's completely, I mean, that's a medical thing that
emergency.
Happened.
Emergency.
Yeah, emergency.
I agree. And I think when you spoke to the professor, like, he should have been like, bitch, go home and we'll take care of this later.
Especially if you smell like shit.
The thing is, like with college professors, like, they act sometimes like the exams are life or death. Like, you could be bleeding out. It's like, well, you have to finish your exam. Mm. It's like, they're so serious. Like, you can't miss a moment. Like, your life is going
to
end.
It's
like, if you're shitting your pants,
so
you should be able to go home.
You should be able to go home and sit on a toilet.
Yeah.
And that's like the human thing to let someone.
It's a basic human right.
Basic human right is to shit in a toilet.
100%.
Yep.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. I hope you can unburden yourself and know it was out of your control. Trust me, I'm recovering from the stomach flu. Like, you guys know, I went into extreme detail about what happened to me. Like, sometimes our bodies betray us. And this is one of those moments. And I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. It happened to me too, but not in public. But yeah, in the beginning of the pandemic, I had a stomach issue. I don't know. It was bad.
There's literally nothing more embarrassing because it's so out of your control.
Then you have
nothing
to, like, clean it.
It's horrible. And then, like, you have to walk around, like, without underwear on because you crapped your pants like a toddler. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. I hope you can let this go. And you know what? I really would talk to your professor about getting a new test because that ain't right.
Absolutely.
How can you focus on algebra when, like, you're literally crapping your pants?
At least it wasn't on TV.
Exactly. Have you ever crapped your pants on TV?
No.
Just Ramona.
Hell no.
No. That was horrifying. Like, the skid marks on the floor. all right. Next up. Thank you for sharing, by the way. This is an open, safe space. Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Claudia and Jackie / to be named co-host. Leah, thank you for being here. my husband thinks it's really funny to annoy the shit out of me. It's like his love language. Hmm. It might turn me into a murderer someday. So after a shower on days that he's being extra annoying or we're fighting, I take his towel to dry my butt crack. It's my way of getting back at him without him ever knowing. Is that unsanitary? Probably. But does it bring me instant relief when I'm very pissed? Absolutely. Love you. Honestly, I love that for you, but I do feel like there's a problem in your marriage. Like maybe you guys should talk about.
Yeah, because that's a big problem. Well, you shouldn't enjoy like him drying off with butt crack towel.
Yeah, I know. Like, and if it's a consistent thing you're doing, like I don't want to be a naysayer, but like I do feel like there might be a problem in your marriage.
You sound like exploring. You hate him.
Yeah, and he sounds like he hates you too. Like being annoying.
Get a divorce.
Yeah, being annoying is not a love language. It's not a personality trait. It's just you're fucking annoying, and no one wants to be around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this for you. I do. But I would maybe explore. Therapy, couples therapy.
Yep, definitely.
Because it sounds like you two are.
But probably don't ever admit that you did that.
I know. It's so beyond embarrassing. Yeah. Like, and that's it makes you look fucking crazy.
Nuts.
I agree. Do not ever tell anyone you did that. Mm-mm. But just know, like, next time you're wiping your ass with this towel, like, think, like, is this what marriage is? No, it's not. Like, it's supposed to be fun and better. So
yeah.
I know that might not be the answer you were looking for here, but there's definitely sounds like there's a problem in your marriage. Sorry. All right, here's our third and final one, and it's beyond. Hey, girly girls. This weekend, I was out having a good time with my girlfriend, and we ended up closing down the bars. We were drunkenly wandering around the streets, waiting to call an Uber to go home because the prices were so high, and we were just hoping to wait it out and that they would eventually get lower. Because it was 2 a.m., everything was closed, and my bladder was about to explode. I was asking all these strangers on the street who would listen, where can I go pee? And one man finally said, you can use my hotel room. And I did. I'm not proud, and I literally don't trust any man ever, but I really could not hold it in any longer, so I decided to take the risk of getting murdered and go on in. Luckily, he was very normal, and after we peed, he asked if we wanted a drink. We said no thank you. Anyways, I just felt the need to unburden myself, because anytime I think about this, I want to die. I can't believe I trusted my drunken self to a strange man off the street.
Next time, just pop a squat between two cars.
100%.
You don't need to go to anyone's hotel room or a restaurant or anything. Just pee on the street. It's totally fine.
I don't want to make you feel worse because like you do feel bad, but like I just want to reiterate how dumb this was. Like beyond stupid. And trust me, I've been there. Like I sometimes think about some of the things I did like when I've had like a couple drinks and I'm mortified and like beyond shook, like how am I still alive? So I know the feeling, and I'm not trying to make you look bad.
Same. We just want you to like not get murdered.
Yeah, and like I think like, you know, maybe getting a ticket for like public urination is better than getting murdered in a man's hotel room. Like yep. I just think it's important that we weigh our options.
Absolutely.
So again, not trying to make you feel bad, but don't ever fucking do that again. That is so dumb and moronic. Well, I hope everyone feels better. I feel better. Anything you want to unburden? Well, you're sober now, so you probably don't have anything embarrassing.
Yeah, there's not that, you know, there's not that much.
That's like, I'm so jealous of that for you.
No, I'm kidding. There's so much, but I have professionals.
Yeah, right. And you probably put it all in your book already.
I have a team.
You put it all in your book.
It's all in my book. That is one big unburden.
100% chaos theory. Anything you want us to know about the book before we wrap?
It releases on April 5th. You can go to my Instagram at Leah Mobb and order it. I should have brought it and like promoted it.
I know,
right,
I was
here
thinking that you would.
I was like, I should have put it next to yours. Mine's pink. No, every also now and your then. Cover is dope, by the way.
Thank you so
love
much
it.
Every now and then I do sadly have to put my book down for our guest's book, but you didn't bring one,
I
so
bring
I'll happily
one.
Promote mine. That's okay. Well, it comes out April 5th, available 5th,
available everywhere. You can order it now. And I hope you love it.
I'm excited to read it. I'm a big reader, and
you
love
need to read it.
Of course. Okay. And I love a good memoir, and I'm sure there's some good Bravo juicy tidbits in there as well.
There's great. Yeah. There's everything.
I can't wait. So congrats on the book. Congrats on conversion. If you have any questions, you want to come over for Shabbat, like,
thank you.
Let's do a Shabbat.
No, let's like definitely chat about that.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. Everyone follow Leah on Instagram at Leah Mobb. Her book comes out April 5th. It's called Chaos Theory. Thank you for being here. We genuinely appreciate it. We're back tomorrow with Girl Boss Town, and then Jackie joins us remotely on Wednesday to check in with how she's doing. So thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.